my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to
Throwback to the Future Wrestling Podcast.
I am one half, 50% of your host of this amazing podcast. Chris is my name. Old school wrestling is my game. With me, as always, the one, the only, Patton, ladies and gentlemen. Patton, how in the magenta hell are you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Chris?
Fantastic, man. You ready for some action?
Let's do it.
We're going to have fun till daddy takes the T-Bird away. Because my daddy is the repo man. It's Barry Darso. That's my father.
Oh, is that why you're always wearing a mask?
Son of Smash. That's me.
Explains a lot about you.
We got a lot to get into, but first, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a shout out to another podcast, the best wrestling podcast, BWP. They're Canadian, so I want to give them a shoot-oot.
How about that?
How's going, eh?
Yeah, Jonathan, Matt, two of our favorite hosers.
Yeah.
And just going back and forth, great stuff. Check them out. That is Best Wrestling Podcast.
Don't you miss it, man.
They compare things to the Stanley Cup. I don't know what that is in measurements, but I think it's good.
So instead of stars, we're like, that's 3/4 a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. It's like it's a 1/3 of a Zamboni.
A Stanley teaspoon.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And we've got a lot lined up tonight, and we're going to dive right in. We're going to do a cannonball into this puppy right after these messages.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Patton, the topic tonight is larger than life. It is the granddaddy of them all. It's the grandest stage of them all. It's the big deal.
Hurry up. My hand's tired of pointing at that sign.
I have bated breath. I need an Altoid. We're going to be talking about WrestleMania, the Ultimate Warrior.
The Showcase of the Stars.
I was doing my Howard Finkel. WrestleMania, which in my personal humble opinion, has become bigger than even the WWE itself.
Yeah.
I think the event, the brand WrestleMania is greater than symbol, even the WWE.
Well, it's the one thing, if you're not a wrestling fan, you know WrestleMania. That resonates with everybody.
Do you think more people know WrestleMania than know Raw?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
It's like the Super Bowl. Everybody's a fan, you know, that at least that one time a year.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good comparison. We're going to talk about the good, bad, and the ugly of WrestleMania, what we think about it. And part of our mission in our podcast is to learn from the past, but not recreate it. But learn from it. And so we've seen a lot of these things. There's been 33, is that right?
Yep, coming up on number 34.
Jeez Louise. And I've seen all of them, daggone it. I started watching wrestling in WrestleMania 2, if you can believe that. But yeah, we're going to talk about what we think about it, what we're excited about, and all that good stuff. Let's talk about something that happens even before WrestleMania weekend, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find that, by the way. Is that in like Kalamazoo, Michigan?
It is. It's okay. In Topeka, Kansas.
Ah.
Not to be confused with the Hall of Pain, because that's what I do.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Hall of Fame. This year, we're going to talk about the inductees so far, if that's okay. And then we'll get some philosophical ideas and thoughts behind what we think about this whole premise altogether. So, let's go through the inductees. Patton, what you got?
All right. So, no particular order. We got Jeff Jarrett. Ain't I great?
Oh, slap nuts.
Oh, slap nuts. He should just get it for that.
Don't piss me off. Slap nuts. All right, what's your take on that? Jeff Jarrett, the devil can see his breath officially because he's going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Never thought that would happen. I heard rumblings. I was like, BS. I'm calling BS. but it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. When I first heard it, I was really scratching my slap nuts on that one because I had no. I was like, "What is he doing?"
Yeah,
you know, definitely not Vince's favorite son.
Nope.
And you know, when I at first was going, "What has he done to be Hall of Fame worthy?"
Yeah,
and you know, going back, okay, I remember seeing him against China. You know, that whole thing where they...
housekeeping match or something stupid like that?
But, you know, looking back on his career, just professional wrestling altogether,
yeah,
he has done a lot for the sport, whether you love him or hate him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good heel. Is he the best professional wrestler ever? I don't know. But I think that his mark on professional wrestling is undeniable, whether you like him or not.
That's I deny story. It.
But
I don't find it undeniable.
I've come around to I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't.
Yeah,
I strongly disagree. He to me he should go in the Coco Beware wing. I think actually I'll say this is controversial. I think Coco Beware contributed more to wrestling than Jeff Jarrett because Coco Beware sang Pile Driver.
that number one hit.
It was amazing.
Pile Driver. No, the other one.
Feel like a pile driver. Yeah, got a bird on my shoulder. That's how it goes.
Huh.
I've got the vinyl of that.
Good.
Yeah, no shit. All right.
I don't want to listen to it.
Jeff Jarrett to me has always been, at best, mediocre.
Yeah.
And even people give him credit for TNA. That's great, man. But I've always seen him as a self-promoter. He really is his biggest fan, and it's annoying.
Yeah.
And I just don't know.
And he's in the Bullet Club. I mean, so they're taking over the wrestling world. All right. Well, speaking of Southerners, Hillbilly Jim.
Yes. Don't go messing with a country boy.
Yeah. That one surprised me. I didn't see that one coming, but I think that's a good good introduction there. Hillbilly Jim, what a massive dude.
Huge.
For those you don't know, I remember... That action figure, you know, back in the day, it's just that big piece of hunk of plastic with the
LJN, the WWF figures. Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember that one growing up. I believe I had that, you know, with some other ones. But, you know, he's kind of an oddball looking one because he was in overalls and a red shirt and a brown hat.
Yeah.
You didn't match up with my other beefy beefcakes over there. So, but yeah, that's my earliest memory of Hillbilly Jim.
He was over. And he was over because he was likable. He was larger than life. He was a character. Hulk Hogan gave him the rub, brought him in. That was a whole storyline.
Yeah, brother.
And he was, I tell you why I think he has reached Hall of Fame status. And it's personal to me. Probably no one else will agree with me. Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, Saturday morning cartoon, Hillbilly Jim was part of that. Everyone that was on that in animated form belongs in the Hall of Fame because they were on that. In my personal opinion, I thought he was awesome. I just thought he was great. He was behind the scenes with the company for, geez, decades.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot. But, yeah, he was a mammoth human. Still is. He's a giant dude. He was a Braun Strowman size.
And our women's inductee is Ivory.
Do we get one woman inductee?
You just get one woman a year. That's it.
One woman, one tag team.
Yep.
One guy who was a cartoon. One slap nut. And just one.
And then one
like Lance Armstrong.
And one person who like got into wrestling for a year and it was kind of buzzworthy.
Yes. Ivory, I remember her from GLOW. And
that's where she got her start at.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Yeah. Tina Ferrari, I believe. I remember that. Yeah, I think she was great, man. I tell you what I really liked the most about her was when she was a coach, I think it was season two of Tough Enough. And you got to know her as a person. You're like, this is a great human. And just seems like a great person. I'm happy for her. I think it's great. Who else?
Coming up. Hey, Chris, go get that table.
Oh, what?
It's the Dudley Boys hailing from Dudleyville.
What's up? The Dudley Boys. Of course they belong there. My gosh.
Yeah, that is unquestionable right there. One of the greatest tag teams. I spent a lot of nights watching them throw people through tables.
Yeah.
Enjoyed every moment of it. They looked like a tag team. They fought like a tag team.
Yeah.
They're great. And their gimmick was awesome.
Did you catch any ECW?
I did not. I was not an ECW guy.
Yeah. So your first foray was into when they were in the WWE.
So, yeah, that was the first time I got them WWE when they brought them in.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of ECW with them in it. I didn't watch it a ton, but I watched some. Man, past Bubba Ray looks like he ate future Bubba Ray.
Yeah.
He's huge. He was the Dudley Boys by himself, and he was a tag team by himself, but now he's slim and trim and looking good. So, yeah, man, congratulations to those guys. They much, much deserved.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then the headliner,
Goldberg.
Iceberg. Yeah, Bill Goldberg.
Yep.
Man, I mean, there's no question about that one either. WCW, that was my jam. That was my first forte into wrestling. And I eventually got into the WWE. And Goldberg was the man. I mean, you know, his streak undefeated. Was he the greatest guy in the ring? No.
But who cares?
Dude, he could jack people up.
He won a five-star match.
Yeah.
No five-star match.
Dave Meltzer wouldn't give him a five-star.
Half-star match.
But Goldberg, I mean, he brought in tons of viewers. And for that generation, you know, for that group of wrestling, and especially if you were not a WWF guy, you were a WCW guy, I mean, he was the greatest thing there. Greatest thing about
how many
WCW.
People do you think got tribal tattoos because of him?
I got one because of him.
Everybody millions.
Does. Yeah.
In the millions. The millions and millions of tribal tattoos.
We're in the Goldberg tribe. Who's next? that's all that's in the Hall of Fame so far. So that's
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, he deserves to be there. So so let's talk about our philosophical perspective of the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts about it, if you're honest?
I think it's great that we're honoring, you know, these men and women, but at the same time, I think the Hall of Fame's a load of crap.
I mean, so no, be honest, but, though.
Honestly, it's yeah. a load of crap.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, who's voting on this? Who's coming up with this stuff?
Me, pal!
Oh, well,
Vincent Kennedy, baby.
Yeah, and so if you're on, you know, the outskirts of his radar, or you're not in good grace with him.
If you're on his shit list, you're not going
you're
in
gone,
the Hall of Fame.
You can't.
Yeah. Well, I heard that Triple H is the game. is the one that he really pushed for old Double J to be in there.
Yeah.
So he made that one happen. So if it was up to VKM, it wouldn't have happened. So maybe it's Kennedy McMahon / the game. So maybe a little combo of the two-headed monster. But to me, it's like toss some names out. Toss out a 20-name ballot and let people vote. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, Vader's not in there. China's not in there.
King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy
isn't in the Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me?
So something's off when you have some of the greatest wrestlers of all time that are getting snubbed year after year. And it, you know, whether it's that quota system where it's like, all right, we got to have a female wrestler, we got to have a celebrity, we have to have a tag team. You know, what if you just take the best wrestlers and get them in there?
Yeah.
Male, female, tag team, whatever, have so many slots, put them in there. That's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Honoring the best. Don't throw someone in there. Well, we got to get somebody. What about, you know, Wrestler Steve? Yeah, Wrestler Steve. And get him in there because
he fits a little box. Put Barry Horowitz in there.
Yeah.
Iron Mike Sharp. So that's problem number one. I think problem number one is it's a flawed system. It's not a real Hall of Fame because it's arbitrary. It's one guy's opinion. Well, I think there should be a physical Hall of Fame. Why not?
Where would it be at?
Like, the Performance Center down in Orlando. You know, just build it onto that. You know, make
cool.
it a tourist trap. Why not?
Yeah.
You got these statues of guys and all this, you know, memorabilia. Just put it down there. I think another major problem I have with the Hall of Fame is the celebrity wing.
Oh.
I think it's ridiculous. Drew Carey's in the Hall of Fame. King Kong Bundy isn't a Hall of Famer. But Drew Carey is.
The POTUS is in the WWE the Hall of is. Fame.
Now, I think there are some people that are deserved. I think Mr. T, as ridiculous as his acceptance speech was, the Mother's Day promo.
But Cyndi Lauper?
Cyndi Lauper isn't in there.
Hmm.
Yeah, she should be in there.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, there's some people that were pretty pivotal in the roles. I mean, the POTUS played a big role, honestly. Hate him or not.
Yeah.
But freaking Drew Carey and Pete Rose. I mean, I know we got tombstoned a couple times by Kane, but what are we doing?
Yeah, and you got to look at it.
Kid Rock is going in. is the rumor. What the hell are we doing?
What has he done for professional wrestling?
He sang the American Badass song.
I was born in a trailer park, so I automatically get a bypass in there.
Oh,
doo-doo-doo.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, what have they done? And the celebrity wing is cringeworthy, but it's the fact that you're throwing in these celebrities that don't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
And it's just becoming, you know, it has that potential of becoming a reality TV cesspool.
Yeah.
And you're not honoring the greats. You're just putting somebody in there because
when are we going to put Snooki in? I mean, Snooki's got to go in, right? Just any celebrity who's ever, Stephen Amell, all these people, anyone that's ever touched or grazed wrestling has got to go in there. It's ridiculous. There's people like Jim Johnson, who has been, to me, as big a player in the WWE scene as anybody. He's made some of the most iconic music ever. I mean, the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme was Jim Johnson. This guy was legendary. I know he's let go of the company this past year, but he should be in there.
Yeah.
But we don't induct guys like, you know, the Hepners or, I mean, guys behind the scenes. Why not? I think the Ultimate Warrior pushed for that. But they took that idea, spun it, and turned it into their big PR campaign. And I'm all for honoring people who were had a tough go and, you know, overcome some great stuff. You know, Connor. And I mean, it's great. But, I mean, that's not what he was pushing for. So, yeah, do that. But the Warrior Award should be, hey, Jim Johnson, dude. I mean, Key Grip, Jimmy Nowalski, you know, whoever. The guy that puts the ring together every freaking week for the last 20 years. Give him an award. You know, the gal doing makeup in the back. Just let's honor some people other than, you know, just the guys that Vince McMahon likes.
There's so many important parts of, you know, like you said, down to the ring ropes, to what they're wearing. And there's so many more people that get kind of just pushed out because we're trying to throw something in that's buzzworthy or it looks good or sounds good or whatever. And,
yeah
it's a Hall of Fame that is famous but not very honorable. In some sense, there's a lot of honorable guys in there, but it's getting. We need to polish it up a little bit because teetering on. Ugh.
Now, having said all that, I'm not against it. I think and concept is brilliant. I think it's worthwhile, and I'm happy for everyone that is inducted. I mean, I think it's a truly great event. The acceptance speeches are awesome. I mean, we're also going to hear from the Bushwhackers or hear Leaping Lanny Poffo's take on Randy the Macho Man Savage. It's great, man. It's great. It's great TV. I enjoy it. I just think there's a couple things I could do to actually elevate the deal.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a real place, I'd love to go and see it.
Yeah,
walking through and just seeing all the memorabilia.
Yeah,
be a great way. And I to legitimize it, I think that's got to be step number one. And step number two, bring in only the best.
Yeah,
don't make this a PR thing. Don't do There's a time and place for that, but make it a true Hall of Fame that it means something to get in there. You contributed and made professional wrestling a better place.
I'm with you. Let's go on to the actual WrestleMania event. We are 34 in the making almost, and so it's become a spectacle. I mean, it's grown. It's become larger than life. What are your thoughts about this event every year?
Well, I know we're getting close to season when everyone's arm is just shaking because they're tired of holding up and pointing at that sign.
Yep.
I'll be happy when that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's become very cliche.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but that giant sea turtle that's hanging up in the rafters.
The sea turtle riding on the WrestleMania sign.
But, you know, WrestleMania, it is the most exciting part of the year. You know, it should be where big storylines culminate, where everything just happens and there's that nice, neat bow. And it's also, you know, the unofficial restart to the wrestling season.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they'll mix up the rosters or whatever. The Raw after Mania, that's a huge one. And so we start back over to see what's going to happen this new year. You know, it's not January 1st. It's WrestleMania that starts everything over.
Yeah. Are there any downsides that you can see over the last couple of years compared to historically WrestleMania of the past?
Well, you got to chalk out like 5 days to watch it all now.
Last year's WrestleMania, 5 freaking hours.
5 hours.
WrestleMania 33, 5 hours. To compare it, WrestleMania 3, back in 1987, 3 hours.
Well, but Chris, it's because they added more matches, right?
WrestleMania 3 had 12 matches. WrestleMania 33, 2 hours longer, had 13 matches.
Oh, my God.
One more match, 2 more hours.
Wow.
But there was several 20-plus minute matches on the card when I think the longest match from WrestleMania 3 is probably 12, 15 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a different day, different era. But 5 hours, I can't do it. I just cannot do it. I will fast forward the hell out of that thing. I will go back and, you know, watch what I want and, you know, well, let the rest go.
What's the shame? The shame is, you know, going back to last year, Austin Aries and Neville, they didn't even make it. They were on the pre-show.
Yeah, the pre-show. It's like 9 o'clock Saturday night.
Like they had to put on sunscreen because they were about to get sunburned because the sun was still up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like no one was in their seats. That was a great match.
Yeah.
And it didn't even make the show.
I mean, to me,
too much.
If it's WrestleMania, you should be able to trim the fat. Only the cream of the crop makes it to the show.
Yeah.
And you just let the rest of the stuff go. A pre-show, fine, whatever. But don't put anything of consequence on the pre-show. That's an insult. I mean, Neville Aries should have been on the main show. I mean, that's stupid. I honestly, if I'm a wagering man, which I'm not, I would bet that the 205 Live Championship is going to be on the pre-show.
Probably. You know,
the Cruiserweight
deal.
How
they treat that title.
They don't give a shit about that.
No.
I hate it. I hope the Usos actually make it to the main, you know, the main card this year. I don't think they've ever wrestled WrestleMania.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Might be on the pre-show. But one thing I do like about Mania, and I will say, if they're going to give more time to something, let the entrances be huge.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. I enjoy that. I enjoyed, Triple H coming down on his tricycle a couple years or last year.
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky,
yeah,
squeaky.
Stepping on that. Oh, for the game.
I'm the Terminator.
And, you know, it's really cool. And, you know, going back to Wrestle Kingdom, that's like the New Japan WrestleMania earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
They really go all out on the intros. And Kenny Omega looked kind of weird as this Egyptian god kind of thing. But, you know, the year before he came out as the Terminator.
Where'd he get that?
I don't know where he got the Terminator idea. Hmm. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I bet you he thought of it himself.
Totally original.
Yeah. But, you know, years ago, I have to go back and look. Shinsuke Nakamura comes out to strippers. And they're just like dancing.
Yeah.
And so let that be the time. It's that big
so
show.
So what you're saying.
You got to have more strippers
more
to make
strippers.
It 5 hours worth. That's
got
what I'm
it.
Saying.
Got
yeah,
it.
That's the only thing.
Well, here, Raw is 3 hours. And so to be special, I guess it has to be greater than sign 3 hours.
It's got
to
be. Yeah.
So can we cap it at 3.5?
If I want to waste 3 hours of my time, I'm going to listen to the Bruce Pritchard podcast.
Oh man, that was that's a deep cut, buddy. We're not going to be guest button on their show.
Yeah, they can send us a bumper, probably not.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I think it should be 4 hours.
Okay.
Tops. Tippy tops. I think every other pay per view should be less than 4 hours. I think WrestleMania should be the only one that merits that kind of length. And I'm actually fudging it because I would rather be less than that, but I'm conceding because Raw is 3 hours, and they probably have to be.
It can't be a Raw SmackDown Super Show.
Yeah.
It's got to be
so,
more.
So I'll give you 4. I think 5 and more than. And I'm saying when I say 4, I'm talking pre-show, all that. You want to do half-hour pre-show and then the deal, that's 4 hours.
You know what's funny is two guys who love wrestling and love talking about it, love watching it, are arguing that we need less of
it. I'm begging you to stop.
Don't know.
Because
no
the market's already oversaturated. It's too much.
Yeah.
And it just makes me freaking tired. Even the concept, like any pay-per-view that comes out, I'm just like, I'm not automatically watching that because I'm tired.
It was like, you know, the pay-per-view Sunday night. And it's like, I got to get up and go to work.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. And, you know, no one there is going to talk to me about it. So I can't even be like, hey, man, did you stay up and watch? No, you didn't. I'm the only guy at work who watches wrestling.
Hell no.
You know it's fake, right?
But here's the deal, though. Overall, WrestleMania is a huge event. We'll have a party here at my place. It's a great deal. And, I'm a big fan. I just think there's some things that could tweak.
Yeah, I'll be bringing my Red Bulls and...
I think after WrestleMania 14 was when they started hitting the gas and saying, we can make this bigger.
Is that when they jumped the shark?
Yeah, that's when Fonzie was on his motorcycle. Speaking of WrestleMania 14.
How about that?
How about we move seamlessly into our next segment, It Rings a Bell. We are here as a podcast to learn from the past, not to repeat it. And I like considering what works and what doesn't about WrestleMania. And something that definitely worked was WrestleMania 14. When, specifically, the WWE decided to bring in a hot commodity.
Oh, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, who was 11 years old. This was 20 years ago, to the year. 20 years ago, WrestleMania 14. The WWE brought in, fresh off a suspension for biting a dude's ear off, Mike Tyson, baddest man on the planet. Baddest man on the planet. Thwaitenly. Hey, Mo.
Is that the guy from The Hangover?
Mike Tyson sounds a lot like Curly.
Like Daffy Duck.
Suffering succotash. I'm Mike Tyson. That's inconceivable. Baddest man on the planet. Baddest man. Listen, Cold Stone Steve Austin. I just thought mint chocolate chip, Cold Stone Steve Austin, best man on the planet. They brought in Mike Tyson to be the special guest enforcer, because that's a role.
Yeah.
We need those.
Obviously, you need to enforce stuff.
For the big main event at WrestleMania 14, Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, for the World Championship. Good stuff, man.
So you bring in Mike Tyson, bad dude.
Best man on the planet.
He is going to heal it up, right?
Yep. Totally.
Yeah.
He's hated. He just bit Evander Holyfield's ear off.
In real life. IRL.
IRL.
He yes. bit off his ear.
And he's suspended for being a douchebag, man. And he's all of a sudden, he's a has-been. He's all washed up. He lost a bunch of fights consecutively. He's past his prime. And the WWE says, you know what? There's money in this cash cow. We're going to bring him on in. It reminds me of something, Patton. The scenario reminds me. It's eerily similar.
Of someone who was a great fighter. Hang on. I'm going to figure this out. A great fighter. Yep. They lost some fights. Now they're washed up.
Connect the dots. La, 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 la.
Thinking I'm a thinker. Who is Ronda Rousey?
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct. This reminds me, 20 years later, this is a very Ronda Rousey-esque.
Yeah.
Very much so. So the whole scenario plays out like this. The Monday Night Raw after the Royal Rumble, 1998, which Stone Cold Steve Austin had just won for a championship shot at the belt, at the strap, at WrestleMania 14, what? Was... Go dang, son! Stone Cold Steve Austin. The next night, out walks freaking Mike Tyson. Iron Mike. He comes on out, and we find out he's going to be the guest enforcer for this freaking matchup.
So what is he enforcing exactly?
The match, man. In a guest capacity.
Oh, okay.
He's Arn Anderson. So he's going to spine bust everyone. So he gets in Austin's face. They get in each other's face. There's birds flipped. There's HR shoving stuff, and you all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, this guy who I hate is cohorting with the DX guys, crotch chopping it up.
Oh no.
And Triple H's braided hairdo.
He's going to bite off Austin's ears.
Yeah. And so that happens. There's a big press conference, and the freaking press are eating this up. I mean, this is the Golden Corral, man. They're just all over this garbage. And they do a press conference where Mike Tyson says to Stone Cold Steve Austin, Cold Stone Steve Austin, he says that he's an uncouth imbecile. and tells Stone Cold he should try loving someone instead. It's brilliant. It's genius.
Coming from Mike Tyson.
This really escalates the feud, and HBK and Stone Cold are getting each other's face. Tyson's in the middle, holding back from each other.
He's enforcing.
He's enforcing, and it's great. This builds, it escalates all the way to WrestleMania 14, March 29th, 1998. And so the big swerve, and lo and behold, Mike Tyson is a Stone Cold guy, and Stone Cold wins a world title in it was Jim Ross who said, we've just entered the Stone Cold era of wrestling. And so, huge deal, man. Mad heat. Amazing storyline. And they used this guy correctly. So, what can we learn from the booking of Mike Tyson and carry over to how we're handling one Miss Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Patton, you had the floor.
We think, you know, WWE can handle... Rousey's a celebrity. Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. She's brought in because of celebrity status. They can handle that. You know, that sometimes they flub up with it, but they've done it correctly before. And I like what's going on now. When Rousey first came out and pointed at the sign forever and smiled, I didn't get it. And I'm still trying to figure out if that kind of giggly girl is part of her image, and then she has that look on her face, and she looks like she's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still trying to figure out if she's still excited. You know, if you put me out there in that ring, I'd probably smile too.
Yeah,
you
know, of course.
I'd be excited about it, so I don't fault her too much because she really wants to be a part of it. But I like what they're doing with her. There's a lot of buzz around her, mm-hmm. and I think that bringing in a legit badass...
Yeah,
that's what Mike Tyson was—a legit badass.
The best man on the planet.
The baddest man on the planet, and it's only going to up that star.
Yeah,
and Ronda Rousey is
five stars.
Up to five stars. She's the baddest woman on the planet, no doubt about it. I mean, she can kick your face in, and I think that if handled properly, if she could be one of the biggest stars in the WWE universe.
So the difference, obviously, is that Ronda Rousey is coming in as a actual performing superstar. Mike Tyson was a guest enforcer.
Yeah, he was a one and done kind of.
So Rousey's fulfilling a different role. But I think something that we can learn from the Tyson thing that worked, and that really, I mean, to this point, WCW is beating WWE in the ratings. Until this. This is actually the catapult that sends, it shifts the momentum and sends WWE into the stratosphere. We have the Attitude Era, and all of a sudden, there's no looking back. This was the catalyst, honestly. And so they handled Tyson perfectly. They used him as a heel. They used the heat of being a washed-up celebrity, and then they flipped it on us and made him a big, fat baby face and got Austin over. I think part of the reason it worked, and I think something they have not capitalized on with Ronda yet, and I don't know that they will, is that it was contentious between both guys, Austin and HBK, with Tyson, because you have two conflicting sports. And so now it's like, which is better and which is more dominant, boxing or pro wrestling? And so they really capitalized that in the press conference. Austin starts talking about, I could whoop Tyson's ass. I'll put gloves on. And Tyson's, I'm the best man on the planet. And so, and then HBK saying the same thing. He's like, I could take this guy. And so there's tension between sports. I don't think they've really exploited that with Rousey. And I mean, what if she came in and said, I'm a real athlete. I rip people's arms off and
I
get
fight
paid for it.
For real.
For real.
Yeah.
Why not break the fourth wall and, kayfabe's dead anyway. Why not throw some jabs? They flirted with that with Lesnar. They have not utilized that. They haven't put the rift in between Rousey and the other talent like they should, I think.
But that seems to be a common theme throughout WWE is you have a lot of guys in there. I mean, Nakamura has MMA background.
Yeah.
Lesnar, Rousey, and others. And they kind of dance around it. They say, oh, yeah, they fought in the UFC. But they don't imply and they really can hurt somebody.
Yeah.
They're having to hold back. And that should be another aspect. Yeah, I agree 100%.
You're a pro wrestler. I'm mixed martial arts. Like, lots of them. Mixed. The only mix you have is a mixed match challenge, which is stupid.
You mix sports and entertainment.
Yeah.
Not entertained.
I mix martial arts. Suck it. I think that could be good. I do agree with you. I think she's too fangirly. It's just, she needs to have that scowl on her face 24/7.
Yeah.
How do you think her promos have gone?
Not great.
Yeah?
Like I said, I like her when she's in Mean Ronda. I don't know, you have different versions of her, but Mean Ronda, I like.
Yeah.
Fangirl, not so much. But we need to see more of her. I still think it's a little early to tell, but I'm not enjoying the promos and stuff because it leans more on fangirly than it does on badass.
Well, let me ask you this. I think the main reason, if I'm looking back retrospectively, if I'm throwing back, man, I think the main reason Tyson was a big deal is because he was with all the big dogs, like not Roman Reigns, but he was in the main event picture. He's with Austin. He's rubbing shoulders with HBK and the DX, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. He's with those guys. Do you think it's hurting Rousey to be mixing it up with freaking Stephanie, who's amazing and my favorite? I love Stephanie.
Chris, put down the bleach. Put down the Tide Pods, Chris.
She's awful.
Well, you threw in, and no disrespect to these guys, but a bunch of has-beens.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
And part of the criticism, Ronda Rousey, is that she is a has-been. And so now you're tagging her up with another has-been.
But she's
against
a has-been in the UFC, actually kicking people's asses there.
Yeah, real fights.
And real fights. Yeah, you throw her in. What if you put her in with Asuka and Charlotte and Naomi and Becky Lynch? I think she could carry that division easily.
Yeah.
That would have probably been a better fit. But they've worked themselves in this thing where Asuka's streak. I mean, she even has to defend it at the Mixed Match Challenge. That makes no sense at all.
I hate that.
And so they've padded this whole... I mean, it would have been... The best thing for Ronda to come in would whip Asuka's ass.
Beat her. Break the streak.
Whoa.
Pour gas on it. Excitement. Set the streak on fire. It's you know, pandemonium. That would have been awesome. That's how you make an impact.
Yeah, and who better than a legit fighter to come in and do that?
Yes. I agree.
Book it, Dano.
Book it. Let me say this before we sign off. This will be our last rant, if that's all right. If you're ready for one more rant.
We've been ranting a little bit.
This is mine. Let's talk about Stephanie McMahon for a second.
Oh, God.
Patton, why in the hell are they shoving this human down my throat? You know what? I actually long for more Roman Reigns over Stephanie McMahon because he feels like it feels gently pushed compared to her. She is being crammed down my gullet, and I'd like to take a moment and just acknowledge the elephant in the room that is Stephanie's ego.
Stephanie. Go back to Star Wars. Just hear me out on this.
Whoa.
Go to Star Wars.
And you Nerd alert.
You know Jabba the Hutt, right?
Shubba Habba Heba Habba.
And there's that little creature sitting on his shoulder. That's how Stephanie comes across to me. Just kind of sitting on, you know, Triple H's shoulder.
So in this analogy, Triple H is Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah.
I'm the Waka Waka Gamer. Waka Waka.
But... Yeah, she always comes across more annoying, and she comes out and yells and berates, and you know when she runs down Mick Foley and Kurt Angle, it's like,
yeah,
stop.
She's collecting testicles.
That's all she does, and stacks them on her desk, and it's not a great look for her. I don't think it's a great look for anybody. Maybe Vicky Guerrero is like the only person I enjoyed screaming at people like that.
It sounds like Jurassic Park. Like Godzilla.
But yeah, I don't enjoy it when Stephanie comes out.
I think
it's
a unique cocktail of all these things. I don't think that it's just because she's an annoying character to me. It's deeper than that. Because there's been annoying characters I liked and appreciated. I think it's the unabashed arrogance of this human and the self-promotion. In the same way I had criticism of Double J, being just a shameless self-promoter. Stephanie is that times one flagillion. She is the founder of the women's revolution. She sticks her nose in there. Every time she opens her damn mouth, it's history in the making. So she's like, we're making history tonight. It's the first women's Hell in the Cell. It's the first women's ladder match. It's the first women's elimination chamber. First. It's the first women's Indian strap match with a cowbell. It's the first women's Indian leg wrestling on a pole match. Who gives a flying monkey's ass if it's the first anything. You have been the one booking this shit. So the fact that it's the first is because you were slow doing it. Don't pat yourself on your damn back, Barry Horowitz, and over all this stupid historical events that you didn't book before. It's stupid. And then she, every 5 minutes, I hear about her cavorting with some kid who's sick. I do that stuff. It's great, but stop shoving your face in the camera. Pandering.
Chris?
What?
How do you really feel about Stephanie McMahon?
I'm like out of breath. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Oh, man. Well, I think it's time to hop back in the DeLorean and get Chris back to the hospital.
She's Biff Tannen. She deserves to hit a big truck full of manure.
So, wait a minute. Stephanie McMahon is your Biff.
She's Biff Tannen.
Oh, there
From
you have it, folks.
From this day forward, we will refer to Stephanie freaking shut the hell up McMahon as Biff Tannen. That is her new name on Throwback to the Future. Patton, do you have a rebuttal? Do you want to defend Biff Tannen?
Well, she's actually a great person once you get to know her. I can't defend her because she gets on my nerves too. Yeah. I compared her to the little creature on Jabba's shoulders, so I can't say much more. But I would like to say this. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have these great ideas.
Yeah.
And here's a great idea.
Somebody's
got to have some. It's not creative. Miss Noodlebaum's class, they're struggling to get that.
Mr. Triple H,
what do you want?
I have an idea to put Stephanie over. Everybody in the history of wrestling.
That's a great idea.
Miss Noodlebaum, can you send Billy Smith to the principal's office for paddling?
All right, so what were we saying? I'm sorry.
So we had this great idea. You know, we're Throwback to the Future. That's our thing. That's our gimmick. And, you know, I had this great idea. The first ever Throwback Thursday. That was my idea. I came up with it. And so we're going to be moving our shows.
Should we hashtag that?
Hashtag, we're starting it. You've heard it here. Worldwide announcement.
Yeah.
Trending number one worldwide. Hashtag Throwback Thursday. We are not going to be on your Monday shows anymore, boys and girls.
Oh, no.
We're moving to Thursday. So it just makes sense. Throwback to the Future is now on hashtag Throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday. Cyber Tuesday.
Yeah.
Taboo Tuesday. No, Throwback Thursday.
Throwback
Thirsty Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday.
Drink beer Throwback Thursdays. That sounds awesome, man.
All you crazy kids listen to your Britney Spears on Spotify. Listen to us.
Are you cool kids and your damn pickup trucks and your slutty girlfriends and your rap country?
Flo Rida, Georgia Line. So yeah, Throwback Thursday, man. I'm excited. So starting next week, this isn't going to drop on Monday.
No. No, you get to sleep in now.
Yeah, I do. It's going to drop on Thursday. Throwback Thursday, starting next week. Stay tuned for it. Make sure to subscribe. Hit the subscribe button in iTunes. Do us a big favor. Also, let me tell you what's going to really count. Let me tell you what you need to do.
What's
it's
that?
Like, it's like putting a tip in the tip jar. It's like shoving a dollar down my old G-string.
I'm sure you're going with that one.
Give us a five-star review.
Hey, Dave, if you're listening, give us a five-star match.
Yeah. Hey, five-star podcast. Dave Meltzer. Give us a five-star review in iTunes. That is like currency.
Yeah.
That is like a high five.
Still, Meltzer hasn't blocked us, but you know who has? The Perfect 10.
Perfect 10 freaking Ty Dillinger blocked us.
Blocked us. So give us a perfect five.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't go up to 10 on the iTunes store.
And then give Ty Dillinger a perfect one middle finger.
Perfect one. You suck.
You suck, Ty Dillinger. So give us a five-star review. We love those. We appreciate it. Also, you can follow us on the Twitter. That is at Throwback Future. You can find us there. And here's another news drop. If that's okay. Can I do this one, Patton?
Might as well.
If you are a podcaster of any sort, of any genre or genre, you would like to put a promo out there on our podcast and maybe swipsy swapsies.
Tradesy wazies.
No take backsies. Trade promos. That's doable. And we'd love to do that and do business with you. We are at Gmail, throwbackfuture@gmail.com and just hit us up, man, day or night. We love it. Sound good?
Sound good.
Patton, take us home.
All right, here you go. Your future is whatever you make it, so make it a good one.